The epistle reading is from 2 Corinthians, the 4th and 5th chapters. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke, we also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. For we know that if the tent, which is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 3rd chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus went home, and the crowd gathered again, so that they could not even eat. And when his family heard it, they went out to seize him, for they were saying, "He is out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, "He is possessed by Beelzebul, and by the prince of demons he casts out the demons." And he called them to him and said to them in parables, "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan is risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand but is coming to an end. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man. Then indeed he may plunder his house. Truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, 'He has an unclean spirit.' And his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, 'Your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you.' And he answered them, 'Who are my mother and my brothers?' And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Faint not nor fear. Christ's arms are near. He changes not who holds you dear. Only believe and you will see that Christ is all eternally. Amen. We know that the world takes many things very seriously, and it insists that you take those same things very seriously too, and it wants you to take seriously all sorts of things, from what you eat to the weather to voting to money to vaccines to race to whatever it is that will be in the headlines next week. And as I said, the world means it. They want you to pay attention to this stuff. It's serious. You ignore it at your own risk. It will tell you that over and over again. And yet for all of that, there are also some things that the world does not take seriously. And one of those things is the devil. Despite the old saying, "Give the devil his due," I don't think that many people actually do that. However, I will tell you one who does take that seriously, and that is Jesus. And that should probably be a clue for those of us who listen to Jesus. We heard Jesus talking about the devil in our gospel reading this evening. And it is not the summary of the case that he is making, but it is a point along the way when Jesus indicates that Satan and whatever other foes are allied with him. Jesus says that they are not a disorganized mob. while they may be rebels, they have rebelled against God. They are apparently not a divided group. They are not a group prone to infighting. If they were, Jesus says, their kingdom would not stand. It would fall on its own. And that truth should probably sober us a bit more than it usually does. Paul mentions that we fight not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That is, Paul says that our struggle, what we are wrestling against right now, not in some far distant spiritual future, but right now, our struggle is against the devil and the rulers of this age. And so if that is as important as Jesus clearly says it is, where are the headlines about that? Compared with all the headlines that you see about wars against enemies, foreign and domestic, against all of the wars against drugs and poverty or some aspect of our history. And when you see headlines about all of those things, but none about the devil, about the spiritual forces of darkness, you have to ask yourself, well, just whose side is the world and the media on? In our gospel reading, Jesus makes the point that Satan has a kingdom. Elsewhere, he says that the devil is the ruler of this world. In the parable today, Jesus says that the devil is rather strong and that his kingdom is an organized one, that Satan is the strong man at the top of that kingdom. And so that is simply what Jesus says. That is true. And so with that being true, we might want to know how the devil works. And in the scriptures, we see that Satan chiefly works and always has worked through lies. And since that is true, maybe now you know why the world is so full of lies, why it's full of fake news, why it is full of gossip, why it is full of slander, why it is full of hypocrisy and half-truths, all of that stuff and more. And in a world where Satan is active, where we see that going on, with lies at every level, lies in our personal lives, lies at work, lies at state, national, international levels, and that these lies corrupt our relationships, our interactions from top to bottom, in a world where Satan is active, this should be expected. This is nothing new. Over the past year, I read through the Psalms again, and one of the things that surprises me is how much David prays to God about those who are persecuting him by saying things that are false, by those who flatter him when they are in his presence but are double-tongued as soon as they are out of his presence, by those who, David says, are deceitful and they lie continually. And we know that David is a type of Christ. That is to say that what he deals with as a king of God's people, this gets magnified, this gets echoed, this gets fulfilled when Jesus comes with his kingdom. And so you will see what Jesus is dealing with in our gospel reading today is dealing with lies about himself. He is responding to those who say that he is out of his mind, or even more so, those who say that he is working wickedness, that he is in league with Satan, that the spirit that is in him is a spirit of wickedness. And these lies get said despite the fact that he goes around doing miracles, despite the fact that he casts out demons. Nevertheless, they lie. And they say that he is in league with Satan. And Jesus, in his response, part of his response is pointing out the logical error of that kind of argument. But he also responds to the falsehood by pointing to the truth of what is happening, of what he is doing in the world. And we, as followers of him, are called to be people of the truth. These past few weeks, we've had readings about the Holy Spirit, specifically pointing out that he is the Spirit of truth. Jesus speaks the truth. We are to listen and believe him. And then, as Paul says in our epistle reading, we also believe, and so we also speak the truth. The church is called to be a place speaking the truth in a world that is full of lies. The people of God, you, are called to believe the truth and to speak the truth. Because we have the Spirit of truth, we have the Holy Spirit in us. Paul tells us that we are to put on the belt of truth as part of our armor against Satan and the forces of wickedness. And we also know that the one who is the way, the truth, and the life is the one who shared our flesh in order to save us. He came, he was sent to conquer Satan and to rescue us from Satan's lies. And this is the truth that Jesus gets at in this short parable that he tells today. The scribes say that Jesus is on the devil's side. This is why he is able to boss around demons. Jesus says, that doesn't make sense. But he goes on to point out another possibility, namely that he might be stronger than the demons. He might be stronger than Satan. And therefore, that is how he is able to tell demons to leave, and they do so. That he is in the midst of defeating Satan, of binding him, of tying him up, in order that he could take those who were in Satan's power, in Satan's kingdom. That would be us. So that we would belong to Jesus. Hebrews 2 says that Jesus himself likewise partook of flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy the one who has power of the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. This is what all of Satan's lies are after. Lies destroy trust. Lies destroy faith. And they destroy it at all levels. They destroy our trust in the different relationships that we have, so that we don't trust our leaders. We don't trust the news. We don't trust coworkers. We don't even trust our family and friends if we find out that they've been telling lies. Ultimately, it is about eroding our trust in the Lord and in God's word. And the chief lies are lies about Jesus, about who he is, about what he came to do, about what he has done, or what he supposedly cannot do. And the lie that the author to the Hebrews points out is especially enslaving is the lie of death. And that the fear of death gets many people to do things that they should not do. It gets them to look elsewhere for help or hope or aid. But he also points out that Jesus broke death by dying on the cross. That is, that Jesus smashed the gates of death so that he walks out of it 3 days later, and that we will too. This is the truth. And we see in Jesus' death and resurrection the truth. We see it for what it is. It is a defeat of Satan. It is a defeat of death. It is a defeat of Satan's lies. And that is where we should anchor ourselves. That is the most important truth, and we should work outward from that truth. The truth starts with Jesus. Our truth needs to start with Jesus, who he is, who we are, who everyone else is. And in our reading, in our gospel reading tonight, notice that this is how Jesus defines his family. He defines it from himself outward. His family are those who hear and do the words of God. Our enemies are those who deny who Jesus is, who refuse to listen to the Spirit of truth, who refuse to listen to the word that God tells us about his Son. So our chief enemy is Satan. The unbelieving world which spreads lies, this is doing Satan's work. And while it is true that we should not demonize people, we should demonize demons. We should demonize Satan. And we should not listen to sources that tell his lies. So among other things, this means that the media should not be your source of truth. You know that the media lies to your face, and it has done for years, for decades now. They should not be your source of truth. Rather, the Word of God, the Scriptures should be your source of truth. The media is always talking about transient things, about things that are seen. And in our epistle reading, Paul says that the things that are seen are transient, meaning that they will move on. They will go away. But the Scriptures talk about Jesus Christ, who is now unseen, but is eternal. And we will see him when he returns. Let us hold to this truth. Let us avoid lies. This is what we are to take seriously. And in a kingdom of lies, and the most wrong lies are the lies about Jesus, let us, as followers of Jesus, speak the truth, knowing that it is what is needed most. Amen.